Mysterio Lionel! Extraordinario! Magnifico!
No game weeks to review because there's sadly no football due to coronavirus, but there's enough to talk about within football. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Football Corner. My name is Vikram.
My name is Shreyas.
If you guys are new or old, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, and more.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, that's at Muncha Podcasts.
So Shreyas, let's dive right into this news cycle for football. Well, first and foremost, to everyone out there who's listening, please be safe, please be contained, and don't go to gatherings for upwards of, I would even say, 10 people.
Mm-hmm. 10 is way too much.
Testing times for, well, the world over, and India is sort of heating up in terms of where we are with coronavirus. Thankfully, the ISL just got wrapped up, 80K winners there, congratulations.
Nice.
But everything is getting cancelled left, right and center. IPL is going to get postponed. All sports are going to get postponed. Well, seems like the world is going to get postponed, right?
Yep.
Luckily, we two are good and safe and we're sanitized. Don't do that. And we're sanitized and we're thankfully in a safe environment, as I hope everyone else out there is as well. But football being football, there's always enough to talk about.
Yes.
We missed out on an episode last week where we could not get Shreyas your thoughts on the Manchester Derby. So why don't we kick off there?
Right. Though it's let's not call it the Manchester Derby, or let's call it City versus Bruno Fernandes FC.
Sure. Let's do that. And Bruno Fernandes did super well in that game.
Yeah, man. I mean, there was even the small clip of him where he's really close to Guardiola, and I think ball went out for a throw-in.
Yeah.
And Guardiola had some stuff to say. And Bruno Fernandes first like goes up to him and he's like, yeah, what are you saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then he realized like he's just trying to get under skin, and he's just like, yeah, I'm not dealing with
this. He told him to shush himself.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah.
That was kind of epic.
So, and that I think sort of personifies the game, so to say. That last goal was just a howler by Edison. We don't know what's up with him. But besides that, I think City with their ban, yes, they got lucky in the Champions League. We don't know what's going to happen now with the ban. But with everything else...
But let's not take away from their performance. They actually did... They had two decent round fixtures against Real Madrid, which is tough to do regardless of how Real's doing at any point of time.
Yeah.
So deservedly went through, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think that was a good reaction to sort of just like shut the naysayers, so to say. A lot of people are expecting Guardiola to quit because of what's going on. We don't even know if that's final or not. That's just a potential ban. They still have to appeal, that it has to go to CAS, et cetera, et cetera.
No, well, technically the ruling has been dished out,
right,
and now they're going to appeal that ruling at the CAS.
Correct.
So, I mean, the latest example we have of this happening was the Chelsea window ban.
Right.
And what we saw from the CAS appeal was the ban got shortened by one window.
Correct. But that literally happened 2 days before the window.
Yeah, I mean, bad timing there. But point being that the CAS does, it could work out in their favor, but to completely lift this ban, I don't think that would happen. They'll get dished out with some transfer ban at least. Something's going to happen beyond just a money fine.
I don't know. I still think it'll be down to money. I think it'll be some random arbitrary decreased number of squad registrations or some shit like that.
Okay.
Which we've sort of seen in the past. We've seen that with Barca. We've seen that with other teams. Even if it comes down to a transfer ban, I think they'll be allowed to spend close to maybe $1 billion before those bans come into, you know, enforcement.
Yeah, free, no FFP restrictions, buy everything. That could happen, man.
Right.
But you know what's also important, even beyond Guardiola, is players like a KDB, for example. These guys are at their prime and they would not want to miss out on 2 years of Champions League football too. So City's in a... And obviously, given this current coronavirus situation, it's all coming together to be a really bad situation for City. And even if CAS comes through and they put up a good case and a good fight and they come away with a reduced ban or something like that, I still think it'll have some sort of effect on their first team and player movement come summer.
Maybe. And I don't know. Like someone like an Aguero, he probably reminds me of a situation when Juventus got knocked down to Serie B because of match fixing, and you saw Buffon and
alleged match fixing.
Okay, then
relax.
Still,
okay.
still not confirmed.
It hurts, man, because they took away one title.
They took away a title, but players like Buffon, players like who was the forward?
Del Piero.
Thank you.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so players like that stayed back. So
and then players like Cannavaro left. So there are enough.
And then when Ballon d'Or, he was the last defender to win Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, there are enough players on both boards, man. Nedved and Del Piero and Buffon did stay, but like a Cannavaro did leave. So,
but that's the thing, right? Which is why I'm saying like this.
I feel like
of...
Ibra was part of our team when that happened too.
Ibra's been through like the top 5-6 of Italy, I think, by now.
Top 5-6 of every country. Except for maybe Germany. He's done like the top teams of every country. Yeah.
Right. So, and Aguero might stay. But yeah, like you said, like a KDB in his prime, potential captain for Belgium, I guess, or vice captain. Yeah, where do players like these go to? Where does Laporte go to? He's had an on and off season. He just got back from injury, got injured again.
Oh, right. Laporte's like very, very bad season,
right.
Obviously.
And he's not even France first team. Like the guy's French. And
the France team is what the Spain team was in like 2010.
Correct.
Where like, you're like, wait, this guy doesn't play for Spain? And he's captaining Arsenal? What the hell's happening, right? So I see your point, but then I agree with you. It's the KDBs, it's the Sterlings. It's right. The, you know, like Sané, for example, has more impetus to leave now.
Yes.
The David Silvas and like the Agüeros and all the older guys, not too much of an issue. They'll happily stay back or maybe just go to another. Like Silva apparently is going to enter Miami at some point.
Yeah.
David Silva is definitely leaving at the end of the season.
Yes.
So we know that's for sure. But it's the young guys and how the City manages to keep a hold of them, and Guardiola, for example, as well. It's going to be pretty interesting, but sadly, there's much bigger stuff to worry about. Why don't we talk about, well, the Manchester Derby or the Bruno City game was, well, the talking point there.
Yeah.
Chelsea played pretty well against Everton.
Surprisingly?
You surprised?
No, because here's the thing.
You have no faith in this project, do you?
No, the thing is, even when we were 2-0 up, good position, good everything.
Right.
Even the commentators were like, okay, so for example, Sigurdsson was getting the ball from his back line and he was giving it ahead. And they're like, yeah, Sigurdsson needs to get the ball more and he's not able to like play up front more. And the game sort of needs to build through him. And they were like, these guys shouldn't be unfazed by being 2-0 down at Chelsea, because we've seen Chelsea go 2-0 up and still crumble. Like they still have time, get to halftime, and then we'll still get back second half.
Right.
So, and that sort of mirrors exactly how this Lampard project has gone on in terms of attack, in terms of creating chances, 100% up there. Over beyond expectations, that we're killing it.
Right.
Combination of your Willian Pedros, one of pensioners, kids with Mount and Pulisic, we don't know when he's coming back from injury. We have CHO going in and out of injury. First player to test for coronavirus from Chelsea, from the league, I think.
From the league, yeah. It was just Arteta before
Arteta,
him.
Arteta, yeah. Right. So, yeah, that attack bit is sorted. Tammy was up there, probably top three, top five goal scorers in the Premier League. On and off again, struggling with injury currently. Minus that, I think we still don't know what we're doing. We don't know our defense. We have no spine. Kante's again been in and out of injury.
Sorry about that.
We have Jorginho and Kovacic, who were mainstays, and now we can't even, you know, mix them in and out. Our backline has been crazy, and like your very clear, supposedly subtle
I was not being subtle. Dude, but Kepa got a clean sheet, man. That has to do like worlds for his confidence.
Against
like a Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison front line. That's a pretty good...
Right, score. And even in the match before that, against Liverpool, he started there as well. And he fumbled initially and we were like, oh my God, this is going to go against Lampard.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had a good game there. I think that was good enough to get his confidence back up. So yeah, so we've had these highs and lows, but I don't know. It was almost like we had to like get like messy... And Lampard literally said that it's not about training, it's not about tactics. He literally spoke to them, had extra meetings, and he's like, you guys are screwing up and you guys need to step the D up.
Right.
So it's just been up and down, and that shows in the way we play. We have moments of brilliance, we have moments of where we're attacking and we're dominating, but we're not solidifying the game, we're not holding on, it's not consistent. So... yeah, it's that a result like that's good on paper. And I actually feel bad for Ancelotti. I've never seen Everton play that badly.
I believe he wasn't present, right?
He was there in the stands. He even met Lampard, and that was beautiful to see, like,
Yeah.
Lampard also, so Lampard, when Ancelotti was at Chelsea, I think that was Lampard's highest goal scoring campaign. I think he scored some 22, 23 goals.
Interesting.
For a freaking midfielder.
Yeah.
That year, Chelsea scored 100 goals plus.
Mm-hmm.
That year, Drogba was close enough to win the Golden Boot. So it was really cool to see. And even when you ask Lampard, you know, obviously, does he have influences from his managers and stuff? And the first name on everyone's, you know, tip of their tongues is Mourinho.
Because
He's the one who started supposedly the Chelsea revolution. And he's like, look, I've worked with plenty other managers. And he's like, I've taken bits and pieces from anyone. And he's like, I can see that the only thing that Mourinho did was like, because he had such an air about him that I'm the freaking best. He's like, I don't care who you guys are. Because I'm at Chelsea, automatically you guys become the best.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, just to be that arrogant,
it was
almost like he forced us to be confident.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I can take stuff like that, but I'm not going to take stuff from anyone. He's like, Ancelotti, hands down, is the best man manager.
That's what everyone says.
Right. Yeah. So it was really cool to see that. But in terms of the way his team played, like, damn.
Yeah, it's still got a lot of figuring out to do, man. And whenever you see some sort of, for example, I feel like it was last episode or last episode where we were talking about how Ancelotti's focused on defensive stability, yeah, and this game comes up and they lose 4-0 to a, well, kind of struggling, weirdly,
yes,
limboed Chelsea team, right?
Right.
So Ancelotti has his work cut out for him. You know who is sort of really struggling to figure out what to do with this team is Mourinho.
Oh, sinking ship.
No, nobody can manage with the amount of injuries I have, which is right. I would say like his top three players are injured right now, right? it was only Kane and Son. So like no attacking right. teeth, make Dele Alli a striker. That kind of doesn't work out. And then Bergwijn goes injured. Out for the entire season. So he is really, really struggling. And it's evident they ended up drawing 1-1 to Burnley.
Right.
Got chucked out of the Champions League as well.
Thrashed.
So bad, bad situation for Spurs. News is normal for Liverpool, 2-1 up on Bournemouth.
That was a scare. They would 1-0 down, 9th minute, Callum Wilson.
Fine, lose that game. How does it matter? What's actually, I want to talk to you about this, man. Let's jump onto this. There is no sort of near-term plan in mind in terms of when the league will resume. Obviously, everything's up in the air. Even health, up until like the health officials and all, their go-to answer is we don't know, because they generally don't know when football can resume. Apparently suspended till April 3rd, but if you read around and
initial,
stuff,
yeah,
it's just like a way to like sort of pacify everyone, give everyone a sort of end in sight. But from what it seems like as of today, which is we're recording on March 16th, it doesn't feel like April 3rd is going to be the day where everyone can resume, right? So optimistically, what the news sort of coming out is that maybe we can look at around a June-ish restart where we play behind closed doors. And, you know, then there are theories thrown out there about a bridge the season. There are a lot of voices surprisingly saying that just make the season null and void, which would be a disaster for Liverpool.
For the whole league, for just football in general.
Yeah, like I don't think this null and void thing is the right thing to go. Yeah. Abridge the season, worst case. Do something, man. Figure it out. Because, and this is not only from Liverpool's perspective. Obviously, it's heartbreaking for them if it doesn't happen. But teams have played up until 29 games. That's more than one third of the season. Yeah. So to not figure out a way to dish out a result in this situation, it'll be pretty messed up. So what, for example, Alan Shearer just yesterday came out of the system. He's like, make it null and void because the league isn't complete. Therefore, by law, you cannot declare a winner and a loser. Now, that sucks for Liverpool. But what it makes sense for are the teams in the relegation fight,
right,
teams in the top four, top five fight, who's going to play Europa next year, who's going to play Champions League next
United
year.
United and Arsenal playing Europa next year.
Okay. Arsenal's currently, if you look at it, sitting in ninth. Spurs is sitting at eighth. Everton sitting at 12th. Wolves is still, Wolves, Sheffield, I mean, 6 and 7, kind of killing it. And the rest we've known throughout the season.
Okay.
Leicester's gone to 3rd from 2nd. But it's absurd if you look at the points tally. It's 82 for the first team and it's 57 for the next team.
25 yeah, points.
And it's 53, 48, 45, 43. That's when it ends up becoming close. So it's those guys who end up suffering, right? Like an Arsenal who, well, they started to pick up some momentum. Oba was kind of killing it. And they're now at 9th place. And if we declare the season at this point, it would kind of suck for them.
Yeah, I mean, they picked up their Guardiola from Palika Bazaar in Arteta.
Sorry. Wow, that was a good one.
Yeah, and he actually...
So like the Palika version of Guardiola. I mean, give the guy some credit, dude.
No, I am giving him credit. If you wait, I know it's Arsenal.
Okay.
But no, guys like Gündoğdu, Ozil's back in the frame. Mustafi is one of the best defenders. Whoa. Never thought I'd say
that.
So, and they were actually playing well. Pepe was killing it, or is killing it, if that counts. But, so I was actually happy to see Arteta do what he has been doing. And that was almost like the last straw that they had to keep Oba maybe beyond the season.
Right.
Because him being 30 plus, I don't understand why teams are after him, why the Barca's and the Madrid's will be after him.
But I'm telling you, 30 is the new 25.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, it shows. He's been golden boot contender for the last 2-3 seasons consistently, despite being an Arsenal. Imagine what he can do in a seriously kicking-ass team. Yeah. So, yeah, I actually like what Arteta's been doing. I actually loved him as a player in Everton or in Arsenal.
Very smart player, yeah.
Yes. I've never seen him play for the national team. I'm sure he must have been drafted somewhere or the other. But I just like the way he plays. I like the way he thinks. And for him to be under Guardiola's wing for God knows how long, it just shows what he's been doing in such a short spell at Arsenal. Or maybe that's how bad it was with Emery. So, it kind of sucks to still see Arsenal at ninth place. And we don't know what happens from here.
What is your, assuming that June is the likely starting date, what is your best idea for how to go about the season? Because keep in mind, Euro 2020 was also a thing.
Correct.
Right? And June, July was when it was supposed to happen.
Right.
But given that all the leagues are shut and all the leagues would want some sort of resolution.
Yes.
It seems likely that Euro is going to get postponed too. And because it can't bleed into September, October, November, it more or less would just end up becoming Euro 2021.
Right.
So if assuming Euro 2021 is what's going to happen, then what do you feel is the best resolution to the league then?
Right. I mean, even I think what makes it worse for Euros, especially this year, is that it was a multi-country, 10 countries, I believe,
right.
And not just one or two countries that is the usual case. So I don't know. I think they could adopt the model of what FIFA is doing with Qatar 2022, having a winter season. However, I think with the Champions League, with inter-European, inter-league competition suspended as well, that's a whole lot of stuff that gets thrown up in the air. I don't know. I think it just comes down to a case of right now, Italy is obviously hitting the peak with respect to their sort of infection rate, so to say, or quarantine status. I think slowly, not multiple, but at least a few countries in and around will hit their peaks. We don't know how bad it will be in terms of how they contain it, et cetera, so I just think best case scenario or worst case scenario is whichever country turns out one of the top 5, top 10 countries, whichever one turns out to contain it the best, I think automatically they'll host the Euro, because anyways, maybe they were hosting one or two games or 4 or 5 games in the group stage.
No, but that doesn't work because you're calling other countries to that tournament.
Right.
Assume that there are no fans in that tournament as well.
Correct.
It's still players from the other tournament. It's still traveling. It's still like support staff, medical team and all that. So I don't think there's sort of any situation that pans out where Euros end
this
up
year?
Happening this year, because the leagues will inevitably get pushed and the league resolution should be prioritized. You can't, I will be very disappointed if leagues, all of them or some of them, end up taking a null and void approach to this season. That'd be brutal, dude.
Yeah,
regardless of which team deserves what, all of that, just from a football fan spectator perspective, just a null and void season doesn't make any sense.
I mean, true that, because that's just putting a hard stop on things, and there's just way too many scenarios, way too many case studies to consider there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, best case scenario is to just simply postpone, and I think the least it'll get postponed by is probably 2-3 months, not just 1 month, which is what the
Premier League. April 3rd is not happening.
Right.
As per anything you read out there, anyone who's slightly informed within the footballing space, they're saying April 3rd cannot happen.
Right.
Like, it's not feasible.
It's just a break to consider.
Yeah.
And just to like take an eye
like
on what's going on.
Get your stuff in order and figure out and like talk and like come to a resolution. But because if you think about it, technically what's happening worldwide right now is that England is now apparently hitting the upward part of the curve.
Correct.
So touch wood, I hope it doesn't happen, but apparently the worst is yet to come in England.
Yes.
Right?
So the worst is basically Italy is unfortunately being the flag bearer for that.
Yeah, Italy is the epicenter now.
Right. And it's not so much in terms of pure numbers, it's more to do with the healthcare system. And obviously, Italy is a first world freaking nation. They're one of the biggest, most successful nations in Europe. And for them to have their healthcare system overwhelmed is scary. And if that happens in other first world nations, I have no idea what's going to happen in Asia. However, China, and it's called COVID-19 because this was discovered on 31st December 2019. But now finally, the epicenter being Wuhan, what they call a red zone, numbers are actually starting to fall there. So yeah, we've roughly seen that turnaround time of, let's say, 2.5 to 3 months or 3.5 months.
No, but then I agree with you. China's curve is flat now.
Right.
The reporting of new cases for the first time is lower than...
Correct.
So that's happening. But every country is so specific to each other. China, yes, with its population, yes, China is fine, advanced in terms of technology, manpower, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So Italy was different. Spain is facing it. France is facing it.
Yes.
All the smaller countries in Europe are facing it. And yes, now UK sort of started to wake up.
Right.
For example, Wayne Rooney had that thing about they've treated us like guinea pigs.
Right. They should have cut it long ago.
You're waiting for a Hudson-Odoi or an Arteta to get infected before you wake up and realize that it should be shut, and right, we're still playing matches that weekend.
Right.
So he's right, but it's because of the unclear nature of it. You right, can't predict.
Yeah.
And because you can't predict, you can't plan.
Right.
So to sit right now and be the authorities and be like, okay, fine, April 15th we'll start and we'll do this and then we'll end the thing and then Euro we'll do this. It's impossible. You just have to sit and wait and just make sure that all your team players and your managers and all, they're all taken care of.
Right.
Like, that's happening with the NBA now. So, okay, you know what happened with the NBA specifically?
Nope.
It was not, I don't want to say hilarious, but it was so weird.
Brutal.
So, NBA got suspended, I want to say 5 days ago.
Okay.
Completely.
That's late.
Pretty late, but it kind of hit America a little late as well. Like, yeah, Trump only declared a national emergency a few days ago.
If you're using Trump as your... measurement, then
unfortunately he's the leader of the nation, right? So what he says goes. So Rudy Gobert was the first player to get infected, and he plays for the Utah Jazz.
Okay.
Utah Jazz was playing Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay.
And all the spectators are there, everyone's there. Fantastic. In the stadium, the game's not happening, the mascot is shooting half court shots and this and that just to pass time. And all of a sudden, this health official runs across the court to the referees.
This can only happen in America. Please continue.
Yeah. So he runs across the court to the... No, this can happen in India, dude. To the referees. And he's like, cancel the game. Cancel the game. Cancel the game. And then the PA guy is like, okay, guys, don't worry. You're all good. But the game is postponed. We'll see you. Like, make it peppy and happy and stuff. And this player from the Oklahoma City team, very well-respected player, senior player. He's like a 17-year veteran. His name is Chris Paul.
Okay.
He just casually is walking towards the Utah bench, and all the Utah players are like, stay away, stay away, stay away. And he's like, what the hell is happening
Damn.
Here? And like 5 minutes later, it's like Rudy Gobert's confirmed case. So obviously the entire Utah team's in quarantine.
Right.
Next day, one of their major players, Donovan Mitchell, confirmed case.
Damn.
And Rudy Gobert, a day before his diagnosis,
yeah,
was caught joking around about the coronavirus.
Fantastic.
So he was in a press conference team. He's like, guys, relax, everyone's in a frenzy, don't worry about this, etc. Some shit like that he's talking. And before, this is a viral clip, by the way,
yeah,
before he gets up to leave the press conference, he just jokingly touches all the mics and everything on the table, and then he just runs out like with a smile on his face.
Instant karma.
But the backlash against Gobert was severe, man. Like, people are like, ban him, fine him, this and that. He's like, the guy has a virus, dude. I mean, he was stupid. He did some stupid shit.
Yeah.
But it's not his fault that he has a virus, right? So NBA is, I mean, everything in the States is obviously suspended. The country is in national emergency. But what times, man? The world's in disarray. I don't know what to do.
If you look at some satellite images off of one of the most polluted countries in the world, China,
mm-hmm,
there's less air pollution. There are less pollutants in the sea.
Oh, wow. Silver lining.
So, I don't know. This is like a funny flirting with a reset button.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, you know, I want it to go all the way. It's actually pretty cool to see countries take it seriously and be like, bro, we don't care about the numbers. We need to freaking start testing. We need,
yeah,
to start distancing, self-quarantine, self-isolation,
stuff like that. I mean, so, I would say that it took longer than expected.
It is, but... And that's what I'm saying. If first world countries are dealing with it like that, then I am so scared for Asian countries, for countries like India, for Southeast, mm-hmm, Asian countries, to see how we manage it and stuff. It's going to be freaking scary, because just pure population numbers. And apparently, in terms of the testing numbers, or in terms of just generally testing for it, private hospitals are not allowed to do it in this country, in India.
That's always been the case, firstly. And India's actually, to toot India's own horn, has actually been very decent at containing situations like these in the past.
Okay.
And
we had the Nipah virus in Kerala recently. So I think Kerala, for example, has done super well because they have insane health system in that state.
Yes.
They have 100% literacy.
Yes.
So to use that as a model,
So, for example, India is sending... literally transporting an entire lab with scientists to Iran.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of Indians also stranded in Iran. Okay. And Iran doesn't have enough medical capabilities. So India that way is good. It's just the population numbers are so high and the population density is so high,
right,
that if it was not at this level, we would have already been way beyond like the Chinas and Italy's, right?
Correct.
But
I think
touch wood, we're doing a good job, but it's so touch and go. People still have to be so aware. I'm glad I see a lot of private companies and businesses doing a work from home policy and stuff like that. So people are aware. People are a little frenzied and a little panicky, which is understandable. And seems like the government's doing a decent enough job.
I don't agree.
You don't know? You don't agree? Okay. I mean, I would feel like it would be worse off if the government wasn't doing a decent enough job.
I agree. But I mean, you expect to depend on the government to be your first barrier or your first savior. And I don't know. I've seen reports of numbers being faked, that we've done so many tests, but that's faked. And the tests are not conclusive. The gestation period was first 2 weeks. Now they're saying it's anywhere from 14 days to 27 days. So,
well, it's also like awareness and knowledge about coronavirus is even to a level of scientists.
Right.
Like they don't know it 100%. They're also learning as we go along.
Correct.
So,
yeah. Canada literally said that we can start doing clinical trials on humans by the summer. That's 3 months away.
And that's super quick for something like this.
Exactly. Because people are saying this is going to actually happen in 21, 22, where we have like vaccines ready. That's way too late.
Yeah. So it's a touchy situation, man. And I mean, it's not like the governments are ignoring it. They're serious about it. They're trying to do as much as possible. Literally, the whole world is kind of suspended limbo right now with all countries coming together and trying to figure this stuff out too.
Yeah, it was pretty heartening to see the guys in the drop zone in China, the team of, you know, healthcare workers, scientists and stuff.
Right.
They recently landed in Italy like a few days ago.
Okay.
To help out. And because obviously what happened there was pretty much like, that's the best case scenario in terms of studying and researching it. Just purely numbers, purely how China works, like a well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm.
They literally converted stadiums and, you know, schools and stuff as mock hospitals and put gurneys literally in the hallways and shit.
Right.
So that was pretty cool to see. But
very heartening. And swinging this back to football, and because you mentioned Italy.
Yeah.
So currently how the Italian league stands is Juve is number one. Lazio's 1 point behind them at number two.
And what are they up to?
Inter is number three, thankfully, like 7, 8, 9 points behind everyone.
Yeah.
And Claudio Lotito, who's the owner and chairman of Lazio, apparently is forcing his players to train given this current environment. I'm assuming because he doesn't want them to lose the momentum. And these Serie A owners ended up having a press conference, and apparently there's a big-ass verbal exchange between Agnelli from Juve and Lotito from Lazio. I can only imagine that conversation, right? He's like, kya kar raha hai? Tu nahi allowed nahi hai. Dekho, allowed. Sir, dekho, training kar raha hai. And Lotito's like, tu number one mein baitha na, isliye mai ko pata hai. I can only imagine, because like, these Italians are super dramatic people, man. Yeah. And apparently it got really heated, but I can see why. But just regardless of, it's just to put your sporting interests ahead of
general
care of your team. That's absurd. So if it's true that he's forcing his team to train, then I mean, screw you, dude. Like, I mean, you're a bad owner. You should get reprimanded for this. 100%.
I mean, I'd actually laud him weirdly, because this is like evolving of the retreat concept.
the famed Italian retreat.
Yeah, so this doesn't get more retreaty than this.
Yeah, just like tum saath, tum sab sahi ho, tum saath mein raho. Kahin mat jana, football khelo, practice karo. It's so weird. Apparently, one coach that you and I both end up liking is Marcelo Bielsa.
Yes.
He tried to force a training for Leeds because they're very close to promotion. I can totally expect something stupid like this from Bielsa. He's like, yeah, it's okay. We're good. Yeah. But apparently, I think that got shut down gladly.
Yeah.
It's so weird, man. It's so weird. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think anyone knows what's going to happen. I think the only responsibility we all have is to just be safe and make sure everyone is safe and aware around us, which is sometimes can become a big problem in a place like India where rumors are just flying left, right, and center. So just to cut through the flag and make sure we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing. And, you know, like, for example, I've spoken with a lot of friends who are all like, yeah, but we're young, we're good. But that's not the issue. The issue is that you get that thing, you'll be fine. But if you give it to your parents, they're a little weaker in terms of immunity and stuff. So you need to be very careful. And I just hope we end up coming out of this together. Just for our listeners out there, we'll still be doing weekly episodes. There's a lot of stuff that we can always talk about. Shreyas and I have been tinkering with the idea of doing look backs for seasons that were important or important games and stuff that really matters, you know, in times like these to just enjoy and bask in. And one thing that I really want to do is look back at the season where City and United went almost to the summit, and obviously Aguero happened. It was one of my favorite footballing moments of all time. I don't think it'll ever get eclipsed, even though I'm not a City fan or a United fan or whatever it is. So we'll be coming back with you guys, to you guys, with weekly episodes, and keep updating you in terms of how the sporting world is progressing in tough times like this. And well, we just need to be together, not physically, but emotionally. And
flying kisses.
Yeah, flying kisses and social distancing. And I'm sure we'll come out of this stronger as a community. So catch you guys next week for episode 32 of the TFC. Stay safe, stay sanitized, and catch you guys soon.